You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Kings are home. The Kings are home. Sacramento Kings taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in the Golden 1 Center. It feels like it's been quite a while since we've seen some Kings basketball inside the G1C. No longer, Kings back tonight. Kings, Timberwolves inside the Golden 1 Center. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. Bite-sized chunks of all the Kings you can possibly handle. And I'm your host, Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is a flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist, getting to cover the team I grow up a diehard fan of, just like I know so many of you who listen to this Locked On Kings podcast are just as diehard, if not more, diehard Kings fans than me. I didn't know that was possible, but by interacting with some of you, especially the ones of you that are listening from out of the country, you're about as diehard can get. Got a lot for you here today. I actually can't waste too much time here because I got a massive interview for you. I interviewed and spoke with Colton Molesky. He's the host of the Locked On Timberwolves podcast, and we spent some extended time previewing this game. Now, you'll hear me talk about in this interview coming up that I also did an interview with him on Locked On Timberwolves that I want you to check out. It's an extended preview, essentially, today. You get two different perspectives and two different parts of this interview, all focusing on tonight's matchup between the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I have no time to lose because this is a long and fun interview that I think you're really going to enjoy. And then we'll come back and chat a little bit more on the other side. But right now, enjoy my conversation with the Locked On Timberwolves host, Colton Molesky. Sacramento Kings return home game one of this 13-game stretch of doom, as I like to call it. Kings go 3-1 on this four-game road trip. Second time this season they've gone 3-1 on a road trip, which is a great thing to say about a young team that's trying to make strides and trying to establish themselves, and they're off to a great start, their best start since 2005. And now the real test begins. In my opinion, this is the toughest stretch of the season. If the Kings are able to wade through these waters and get through it and still be around 500, then I'm going to be willing to talk playoffs, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We got to take it one game at a time, and it starts with the rematch of the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Kings defeated the Timberwolves earlier on this season in Sacramento. That was with Jimmy Butler on this Timberwolves roster. Kings beat the Wolves so bad, the Wolves traded Jimmy Butler the next day. Well, that's not the case. But I'm happy to be joined by Colton Molesky from Locked On Timberwolves. He's a fantastic host of Locked On Timberwolves. And check this out. You get a lucky twofer today. You can listen to this entire interview, and I expect you to listen to this entire interview in full and get a good conversation and good perspective from Colton about this game here tonight. And then you get even more content if you head over to the Locked On Timberwolves podcast right now. You can check out the interview that I did with Colton there, so you get double the preview for tonight's game. Colton's so nice to take the time, and it's been a great conversation that we've had here over the past hour or so. Colton, welcome in to Locked On Kings, my friend. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
I am loving being back on your show, and I'm glad that we get to do the not one but two podcasts this morning, giving people the maximum amount of content. That's just the Locked On way, that we're giving people the most content to get prepped for a game.
They're really spoiled, aren't they, these listeners? I mean, they get to listen to you. They have to deal with me. So that might be the only part that they really, really have to struggle through. But it's fantastic coverage that the Locked On Podcast Network always provides. And I tell everybody, even if you're just specifically a Kings fan, always check out other podcasts and especially other teams' podcasts before they play the Kings, because you'll get a lot of really, really great perspective. But I wanted to get some of that perspective here for our podcast and for this game here tonight, Colton. And I want to start with the last matchup between these two teams. Karl Anthony Towns had a fantastic game. Jimmy Butler, not very prevalent in that game. My feelings are that this Timberwolves team is better and would have played better in that game had they not had Jimmy Butler on the floor. Is that really the case? Is this team just that much better now that Jimmy Butler is gone?
Yes, it is. It's amazing how much the locker room affected this team on the court. There was a real cloud over this team to start out the season. There was a real funk going on in the Timberwolves, the way they played on the court, the way they handled themselves off the court. I mean, there was plenty of reports coming out of the locker room you had guys walking around after wins like they just lost games. It was a really tough situation for the Timberwolves in that first stretch of games. They move on from Jimmy Butler. They bring in two really fun, exciting guys in Robert Covington and Dario Saric from the 76ers, and everything has changed. They're fitting in together. They're a bunch of young guys just playing really, really sound basketball. You bring in Robert Covington and Dario Saric, both of those guys, really good guys, not only offensively, but super awesome effort defensive players, and it's really inspired and revamped this Timberwolves offense and defense, giving them a lot of energy to make it through the marathon that is the basketball season. And it is a totally different look for the Timberwolves. They started winning road games now that they have these guys on the team. That's a good start. That's a good sign, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes less is more. And I'm not diminishing the talent that Jimmy Butler is, because I think he is a fantastic, transcendent talent in the NBA. And I'm sure he's going to get a nice, hefty paycheck come this upcoming summer and offseason. But it's addition by subtraction in a lot of ways. And like you said, they acquired a lot of good pieces in that trade that has seemingly fit in well. The Timberwolves broke their playoff drought last season, and everything looked fantastic. And then we had all the drama from last season and carrying into this season. Now it seems like they've at least pushed some of that, if not most of it, out. And the good news is the Timberwolves, even though they're 13-14 and a game under 500 and currently in the 12th spot in the Western Conference, they're only two games back from the eighth seed. So there's still so much season to play. And if you get hot at the right time, you can turn things around pretty quickly. The fact that they made the decision to part ways with Butler early on in the season rather than letting it drag out all the way to the trade deadline, Colton, I think is a great decision and a great move by this team, because it gives them plenty of time to turn things around, get confident and comfortable, and work your way back into a playoff picture.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same story as last year, right? You can be the Houston Rockets and they're what, 6-7 games out of the first seed. I mean, the separation from being in the playoffs and being out of the playoffs is still razor thin. And with the race being like 10 teams when we entered the season to now, it feels like it might be 12 or even 14 teams as far as a playoff race now that we're actually in the season. It's going to be down to the wire, and that's why all these games are important. I was stressing this the other day on the show, Locked On Wolves. Every single one of these games is important. I don't care if you're playing the Cavaliers or the Suns or if you're playing the Kings. Every one of these games is important because you're not sure which win is going to be the win that helps you break into the playoffs versus the one that keeps you in that ninth seed. But every single one of these games is important, and that's why it's frustrating for me as a Timberwolves fan that we have to play these great backcourts on the road consistently back to back to back. I really don't want to have C.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson, and then Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox all the time on the road in succession. I don't want to see these teams with these backcourts continually back to back to back.
Well, that's just the state of the Western Conference, right? I mean, the West is just so stacked with talent and so talented. The fact that 1 through 14 literally has a shot at the playoffs right now, and then the Phoenix Suns are down there in doom and gloom land, which makes me happy personally. But a lot different from the Eastern Conference, and every single game against a Western Conference opponent, with the exception of the Suns, every single night has an extra level of importance to it, an extra level of value to it. We're already talking about this game here tonight, Colton, between the Kings and the Timberwolves as having potential tiebreaker implications for if these two teams tied for like an eighth seed at the end of the season. If the Kings get two over the Timberwolves, then the Kings would get the jump versus the Timberwolves getting two over the Kings, the Timberwolves would get the jump. It's crazy that we're having this conversation in early December already. The state of the Western Conference is just crazy and chaotic right now. Ultimately, when the season is done, there are going to be teams on the outside looking in the West that are staring at the Eastern Conference and going, well, damn it, if we played there, we'd probably be a fifth seed. But that's just the way the NBA is, and it's great for us in the Western Conference because every single game on every single night really is that much more meaningful and that much more awesome to follow.
Well, and you're talking to a guy who covers a team who last year needed overtime on the 82nd game of the season to get into the playoffs. So I was talking about in November how you got to take every game seriously. I am not taking any of these games lightly because they all matter. They are all important. And for a Timberwolves team last year that dropped a considerable amount of games to teams like the Magic, teams like the Suns, teams like the Grizzlies who were so bad last year, every game is important. And those games really do catch up to you at the end of the season.
Well, I appreciate you not putting the Kings in those lists of bad teams last season. That makes me feel good. And
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
But you can be real. You can be honest. And we here in Sacramento would like to believe. Now, we're thrilled. We're fired up with how this Kings team is going and the direction that they're going in. And we really believe this is a core that could break this long playoff drought. Maybe not this season, but next season and in years to come. Something for the Kings finally to build around and be excited about. But that's our perspective, and we would like to believe that everybody else around the NBA is starting to take notice of the Kings and take them seriously. But from your perspective, looking at this Kings team, do you think that the Timberwolves are approaching tonight's game like, okay, it's the Kings. Even though it's in Sacramento, it's the Kings. Good chance for us to get 500. Is there any chance that the Timberwolves are looking at the Kings and still thinking, all right, this is still a team that we should beat?
I don't think so, just because the Kings are filled with guys who everybody wanted to be really good right away, and now they are actually playing as good as people wanted them to be. And so I think that you look at the Kings roster, and if you're being honest with yourself, the talent gap from a team like the Timberwolves to a team like the Kings has closed really quickly, even though there's a lot of the same guys on the team, just because now they're hitting that style of play. I mean, like, who was cheering against Buddy Hield, right? Who was cheering against De'Aaron Fox from college to the pros? Obviously, others outside of Louisville fans. Sure. Who was cheering against a bunch of these guys? Who's cheering against Bielitsa? Who's cheering against Willie Cauley-Stein? Nobody is really rooting against these guys, and they just weren't hitting that level that people were hoping or anticipating for. Now they are, and I think you have to take them seriously because they're guys who had a lot of high expectations, and now they're getting to those expectations and starting to reach into those ceilings that everyone was hoping for. And so that's why I don't think you can sleep on this team, because they are really talented and they are hitting their stride, and they're doing it in a season. We talk about transition and pace for this Kings team all the time, but they're doing it in a season where you can really get away with owning pace and transition and kind of abandoning defense because everybody around the NBA is doing it.
What if I was to ask you from a Timberwolves perspective, what piece of this Kings team worries you most, not just for tonight's game, but every time these two teams match up, what would you tell me?
Honestly, I would say probably De'Aaron Fox, just because the Timberwolves don't have De'Aaron Fox is a guard who is really good defensively and has started to really come on offensively this year. And the Timberwolves just don't have a guy that can match him on both sides of the floor. They have Derrick Rose, who's really good offensively, but not very good defensively. Jeff Teague can disappear offensively, but is a playmaker, but again, is not good defensively, and I don't think can keep up scoring with De'Aaron Fox this year the way he's played. I mean, Tyus Jones, he cannot create his own offense, and he's probably their best defensive guard, and he can't create for himself. So they don't have a guy that can really take over the game both sides of the floor at the point guard position like I think the Kings do this season with the way De'Aaron Fox is playing now.
Yeah, and Fox is making huge leaps and huge jumps, and he's certainly still the centerpiece for this Kings team. But I'm curious, I don't know how much specifically you follow Sacramento Kings basketball, and I'm not expecting you to have watched every game or to pay attention to every highlight reel or every time there's a recap with the Kings involved. But Marvin Bagley, a controversial pick a little bit for the Sacramento Kings at number two. Had the opportunity to take Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson Jr., plenty of names that some even here in Sacramento still can't get over the fact that the Kings chose Bagley over Luka. But I'm curious your thoughts about Marvin Bagley. He didn't have too great of a game, only 6 points, I believe, in the Kings win earlier this season to the Timberwolves. But like I told you on your podcast that we just recorded, Colton, I think the growth between just that game and today for Marvin Bagley, which is only a couple weeks or around a month, is exponential, and you're going to see a lot of great stuff from him tonight. What do you think about Marvin Bagley as a talent and a fit alongside a guard like De'Aaron Fox?
We're going to say I haven't watched a lot of Sacramento Kings basketball just because we don't want people to know how much League Pass I watch, because that would just make me seem sad. So we're going to pretend that I haven't watched a ton of Kings basketball. No, I'm just kidding. I really like the way Marvin Bagley has looked, just as far as he kind of looked a little lost to start the season. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like he's really finding a rhythm on this team. And I think it helps too. You have somebody like Buddy Hield, who has really found himself this season. I think the spacing he gives not only Marvin Bagley, but the entire front court for that Sacramento team, and the spacing that Bielitsa's shooting helps with, it has helped all of those guys really operate well. Willie Cauley-Stein's another guy who I've been really impressed with this year. But I think Marvin Bagley is going to have more of an impact on this game if he can really come on. That said, I think if he does start having impact in that first half, the option is you could throw Robert Covington on him.
Yep.
And I think that could really throw a wrench in the stuff that they want to do through Marvin Bagley.
I agree with you, and I think Robert Covington is a great matchup that we probably are going to see between these two teams tonight. A good test for Marvin Bagley. There was a guy in particular that didn't play against the Timberwolves in the Kings win, and he's a very, very important piece to this team, especially the second unit, and that's Bogdan Bogdanovic, the European-style facilitator. He's looked to be more offensive-minded this season, which I've actually liked. Last season, he was a little bit more pass-first before De'Aaron Fox was ready to run the team. Now, the Kings do still use Bogdan Bogdanovic in a point guard role off of the bench at times when Fox isn't in the game, but they also use him off the ball a lot as a spot-up three-point shooter, which he's very capable of. What do you like about Bogdan Bogdanovic's game, and do you think the Timberwolves have a good counter to that style of player?
I like that you have in him and really most of the guys on this team, you have guys who are really flexible in what they do, and they can help space the floor. He's going to help them rebound, I think, a little bit in this game. I think that he's going to do a couple of things against the Timberwolves, just offensively, defensively, that's going to help with their versatility. As far as who to throw on him, I think a guy like maybe Dario Saric could be interesting to put on him. Taj Gibson, the way he roams around defense and kind of finds guys in that front court who can make a difference and really try and throw a wrench in what they're going to do. It'll be interesting to see the moves and counter moves because, again, both these teams, not great defensively. So I think most of the counter moves for the Timberwolves versus what the Kings are going to do, the increased impact from Marvin Bagley, from Bogdan, I think the counter moves are on offense more for the Timberwolves than anything else on defense and what they're able to do as far as floor spacing. And I think it comes down to knocking down and putting up a lot of three-pointers for the Timberwolves and really spacing out the floor for Towns to really do work and kind of counterbalance what the front court of the Kings are doing. Because, again, both these teams not sound defensively just in general, just as far as beating their opponents man-to-man in defense as a whole. You have certain players who kind of stand out. Covington for the Timberwolves. I think Fox is one of those guys for the Kings that kind of stands out a little bit defensively. But as far as a whole, both these teams not good defensively. So the counter moves, I believe, are going to come mostly on offense and what you're able to do once player X is knocking down possession after possession. Well, who on the Timberwolves team is going to say, you know what? No, we're going to heat check, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to knock down on these next three possession shots. And so I think that's where the counter moves are really going to come from for both these teams.
I'm surprised you didn't say, I see your Bogdan Bogdanovic and raise you Anthony Wiggins, because he did not play in the Kings' win over the Timberwolves earlier this season. And he's a very capable scorer, a very good player, and I think this is a matchup that really is great for him. Two teams that don't really play defense and two teams that are just going to try and outscore each other. Well, we know Wiggins can score. I think he's very important to the Timberwolves' game plan tonight. What are you looking for Wiggins to provide for this Timberwolves team in tonight's matchup?
Well, see, I can't say I raise you a Wiggins because I don't know if I can raise you a Wiggins. I mean, while he has played better this season, he is still the inconsistent player that he was from last year. I mean, you had during a win streak for the Timberwolves, you had him throw up a 0-for-12 game against, I believe it was the Bulls, and he against the Nets, Cavaliers, and Bulls, he really didn't do much of anything. And he had a really bad slump, and he's been playing a little bit better, played out of that slump recently, but I don't think Wiggins is somebody you can go to the bookie and say, I'm betting on him tonight to pull out this bet for me. I think that you hope that guys, you bet on guys like Covington and Towns and Rose, and then you really hope and pray that Wiggins is feeling it tonight. The problem is that I'm not sure if he judges this game as a primetime game. I think that he shows up and shows out for games like against the Rockets, the Warriors, and I think this is a really important game and the Kings are really good, but I don't know if Wiggins feels that way, and I think that will be crucial to how he plays because he doesn't show up for every single game. He just doesn't, and I'm not sure what version of Wiggins we're going to get tonight.
Derrick Rose, Colton, has been having a fantastic season this year, and it's been fun to watch his resurgence. Certainly a great story in terms of just basketball-wise, everything that he's gone through, from being an MVP to the countless injuries, and now trying to work his way back, and the Timberwolves have given him a good platform and a good opportunity to do that. Is this legitimately Derrick Rose that we're seeing this season, or is he just riding a Jeremy Lin-style hype train?
No, this is for real, and it's for real because of two major factors. First of all, amongst point guards, he's one of the more efficient basketball players right now. He's sixth in field goal efficiency among point guards, and so he's not just throwing up shots and making them. He's taking smart shots. He's getting to his spots. He's not just settling. He's really finding his shot and finding his rhythm and taking smart baskets. But he's also, now that Jimmy Butler is gone, and now that mid-range shot has kind of opened up a little bit, he's getting into that 15 to 18-foot range and really knocking down shots there. And while he's been good from three-point range as well, that's really his comfort zone, is either driving to the basket or pulling up and taking a mid-range shot. And because there's not a guy in Jimmy Butler who's going to take 13, 15 of those a game, that has really opened up for him. And so he's able to really own that portion of the floor. And because that's opened up, he's really able to find a rhythm. But I don't think this is just a flash in the pan. I think that this is really the new Derrick Rose. And it feels like, I was talking with a buddy the other week, and I said it felt like 2007 Derrick Rose. And he said, not 2011 MVP Derrick Rose. And I said, no, when Derrick Rose was Mr. Illinois and he was coming onto the basketball scene and everyone was discovering him for the first time, it felt like people who weren't really paying attention to him before in high school, it felt like you were finding him for the first time. And that's what it feels like now. It feels like we're finding a player for the first time. And it's really fun and it's really exciting because this is such a turnaround from what he was on the Cavaliers, what he was on the Knicks, both on and off the court, that it really feels like we're finding a new player. And I'm loving it. I'm loving every single minute of it.
Karl Anthony Towns is one of my absolute favorite players to watch. I just think he's the epitome of what the big man in the modern NBA is, and I just love watching him play. He's so smooth, so fluid, so talented on both ends of the floor. He finished with 39 points and 19 rebounds in the loss earlier this season, but the way the Kings were able to beat him in that game, because he was unstoppable in the first half, was they ran him out of the gym, essentially. They just tired him out with the amount of minutes that he was playing and with the pace of play that the Kings play at. Do you think Karl Anthony Towns' stamina has improved from earlier on in the season to tonight? Is that still a sound strategy for the Kings to try and tire him out, or do you think he's going to be able to go for the 40 or 48 minutes or however long he plays?
I don't think so for three reasons. First of all, like we were talking about just a moment ago on the Locked On Wolves podcast, Towns has been playing a lot better the last 15 games. Really, since around the trade, he's been playing a lot better. It seemed like for the majority of the opening of the season, he was in a funk with Jimmy Butler on that team. And now he's averaging 24.1 points per game, 13.2 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three. Pretty much all those numbers are up from the start of the season over the last 15 games. Again, he's been playing a lot better. But the other thing, too, is that the second reason that I think this isn't a sound strategy is the Timberwolves are a more well-rounded team. Yep. It's not just dependent on one or two guys to win this game. They're not just saying, all right, it's either got to be Towns or it's got to be Butler, but one of you guys has to be a monster the entire game, otherwise we're going to lose. And they can go from quarter to quarter or even from game to game depending on different guys. Maybe it's Derrick Rose who starts off really hot and then Towns finishes out a game. Maybe it's Covington. Maybe Towns starts out really hot, and then it kind of trades off to Covington and Sarge, who finish out well. Maybe it's a guy like Teague, who closes out a game, who has, even though with his scoring troubles, has done that before. And the final reason that I don't think this is a sound strategy, the Timberwolves are just better at closing out games. I think the wins they had over the Rockets and the Hornets were really telling of the growth on this team, because they were able to win those games in the fourth quarter, something that even with Jimmy Butler on the roster, a guy who closes out games so well, they weren't really able to traditionally do well last year. They're able to do this year. They've shown that they can close out the game. They've shown they can be strong in the fourth quarter, and they've shown that sense to trade. And so I think that this is a very different animal that the Kings are going to have to deal with from last time they played to tonight's game. And I think that betting on Towns being weathered in the fourth quarter is no longer a money bet to make against the Timberwolves.
From an outside perspective, looking at this team, an issue with this team, the Timberwolves going back to last season, was the amount of minutes that the starting rotation was playing. And we heard that was a criticism of head coach Tom Thibodeau and how he plays his players, and if players were frustrated with that. Do we make too much of a big deal out of that? Has that improved at all since this Jimmy Butler trade?
It's absolutely not been made too much of a big deal of. It's been made either the exact right amount a deal of or not enough of a deal, because he was running guys into the ground last year. It was ridiculous. He was playing with six guys, basically. I mean, you look at the minutes last year, and really outside of Jamal Crawford, nobody was really getting any chance to play off the bench for that team. And I think this year has been a lot better as far as Tibbs. I mean, it seems like maybe it hasn't gone too much, but baby steps for him in, as far as his growth and creativity. He's playing a lot more two-guard lineups, which I like to see from him. I mean, you haven't seen really Anthony Tolliver since the trade. You haven't seen too much of Josh Okogie. Those are two guys I think need minutes and need to get involved, and I know there's only so many minutes to give, but I think there's a way you can get other guys, especially a guy like Josh Okogie, more involved in the game plan while not sacrificing the integrity of your basketball team, because obviously you still want talents to get plenty of minutes. You still want guys like Derrick Rose, Robert Covington to get a decent chunk of time on the court. And I think there's a way to do that. I think there's still an experimentation period where he's still figuring out the best way to run Covington, the best lineups to run Covington and Sark with. And it's kind of like a kid with new toys. You got to play with him a little bit before he slides back into maybe running more Josh Okogie, maybe getting Anthony Tolliver back out there. But as far as minutes, he has been better. It has been better. You see guys like Rose, he's playing around 28 minutes per game, 29 minutes per game. You have Tyus Jones averaging the most minutes he's averaged in his career this season. Gorgie is still getting out there. There's plenty of games where Gorgie's getting out there for 17 minutes. So there is more versatility to this Timberwolves team. There is a better minutes distribution. Dario Saric is another guy. He's averaging about 20, 21 minutes per game. And now you just gotta see, is he throwing the right lineups out there with the time that he's getting? And I think for the most part, there's enough flexibility on this Timberwolves roster where there's a little room for error, and you can throw guys out where the lineups are maybe look a little like, oh, are you really throwing out Dario Saric and Covington and Taj Gibson all out there together? Is that too many bigs? But because of how versatile a lot of these guys are, it still works out.
Last thing for you, Colton. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining me here today. Your feeling on tonight's game, a bounce back performance from the Timberwolves after losing a game earlier this season to the Sacramento Kings. I know they don't want to drop two in a row against a young team like the Kings. Do you have a good feeling for this one tonight, a good game for Karl-Anthony Towns? Anything just looking at this matchup, either gut feeling or something jump off the stat sheet for you for tonight's game?
Just as far as gut feeling, it really feels like one of those games where Towns is insane. Yep. It really feels like I'm going to be bold here. It just because this is a number that keeps jumping in my head for some reason when I think about this game, it really does feel like a 42, 43, and 15, 16 as far as rebounds kind of night for Towns. I really think that he takes over this game early, and then you see off of that, guys like Saric, Covington, Wiggins, they're able to shoot a lot of threes in that second, third quarter and take advantage of kind of the commitment to defense that the Kings make down low. And then in the fourth quarter, he comes back with a mean vengeance and closes out this game well and has like double-digit fourth-quarter points. It just feels like a game where Towns really goes off and owns this game. The one thing I wanted to ask you before we head out, this has the makings for kind of a fun rivalry, right? Two young teams who are really trying to scrap and claw their way into the playoffs. Two young, fun rosters who really depend on a lot of scoring and transition and pace. This could be kind of a fun little rivalry the Kings and the Wolves start as they come up together, no?
Yeah, and to add another piece to it, the Timberwolves are the team that had the longest playoff drought until last season, and they passed it over to the Kings. I know the Kings aren't too happy to have that that title and that label, so you add that element into things, especially the fact that there's clinching implications for tonight's game as well, or tiebreaker implications for potential playoff situation coming on later in the season. I completely agree with you. Two young teams that have a lot to work for, very similar in a lot of ways. I think the Timberwolves and the Kings could be a fun rivalry rivalry going back to the early 2000s when it was Chris Webber versus Kevin Garnett and their jawing battles at one another. I completely agree. I think it would be a very good opportunity to see a new rivalry form in the NBA. And who knows, this could be a playoff matchup that we're talking about, not necessarily this season, but maybe in future seasons to come. And I think we both would really enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely a fun wrinkle to look at going into this game as well is how these teams kind of learn about each other and grow together. And kind of, I think that you look at these games maybe this season and next season and the season after, and you can kind of point to these games as almost like when your parents make little marks as you're growing on the door frame.
Yep.
Kind of little marks on the door frame. Well, look at how these two teams compare here, and look at how they grew from that game to this game, and look at how they're growing as they play each other. And I think both of these two teams will grow into playoff contenders here, pretty regular playoff contenders here over the next 3 years. But it'll be fun to see how they grow together and how they compete against each other.
That is Colton Molesky. Check out all of his fantastic work on the Locked On Timberwolves podcast. Again, head over there immediately following this podcast for even more in-depth conversation on tonight's game, on the Kings and on the Timberwolves from both of our perspectives on the Locked On Timberwolves podcast. I promise you, it's another 20 minutes of different from what we talked about here. So you really get double the joy and double the fun today. So if you're on maybe a long commute or anything like that, if you're heading out to the game itself and you want to listen to more conversation and more coverage, that is a great place to do it. You can also follow Colton on Twitter if you want a good pulse on what is going on in Timberwolves land at C Molesky on Twitter. Colton, thank you again so much for taking the time, my friend. We'll see tonight's game, and then the Kings play the Timberwolves in Minnesota in not too far from now. I'm sure we'll be having conversations before that one as well.
Thanks again for having me on the show. Always a pleasure. Always fun talking to you, Matt.
It was an absolute pleasure talking with Colton. Again, head over to the Locked On Timberwolves podcast that's out right now, and you can catch all of my conversation with him on that platform, and it's even more different from the conversation that we had here on Locked On Kings. So you're not going to be hearing and repeating the same thing. It's just even more in-depth stuff. Fantastic stuff, something that I love to do here on this Locked On Podcast Network, and that's what the Locked On Podcast Network brings you. Fantastic local and national podcasts for you to enjoy each and every single day, so take advantage of it. We will be back for tomorrow's podcast. We'll recap this entire Kings and Timberwolves game. I'll have highlights, player sound, and everything for you. If you're heading out to the Golden 1 Center tonight and you want to meet me and say hi, I would love to be able to see you in person and thank you in person for listening to this podcast. Let me know and reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK and let me know you're in the arena, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Use both of those platforms as well to get into conversation with me about anything we talked about on this podcast, past podcasts, future podcasts. It does not matter. I want this to be a beacon of conversation, and you can approach me and we can chat anytime you want. I will see you and talk with you tomorrow on the Thursday episode of Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.